Coming up in today's podcast, Wire put together a team performance that was possibly the best of the season so far. What do we make of Warrington's semi-final Challenge Cup draw? Sam's here with a mid-season stats roundup. Callum takes a look at the relegation battle. And there's a touching tribute as Madam Boyd says goodbye to Tony. And should Kevin Brown slot straight back into the Warrington side? We gave you the vote. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say? Morning campers, I'm Rob London and welcome to today's podcast. Joining me on the pod are my two camping companions. First up, a man that can live off the lay of the land for weeks, a cross between Bear Grylls and Tarzan, think the Johnny Weissmuller version. He can also skin a rabbit with his teeth and start a campfire purely by the glint in his eye. It's Sam Sankey. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Rob, and thank you for that introduction. Although I think with my outlook to life and physique, as I showed you both last night, I think I'm more akin to Ray Mears than to Tarzan or Bear Grylls. Actually, though, on the subject of Ray Mears, I once saw him interviewed and he gave the advice that if you were ever marooned on a desert island, then your best friend would be a machete. Then you can kill your food, chop your trees for shelter and protect yourself. So advice to any podcast listeners who are going on a cruise, pack a machete in case you get shipwrecked.
Jesus. The only island Dennis has ever been to, Spike Island, isn't it, Dennis?
Aye. Not wrong with Spike Island. You don't take a machete, though. You just take a normal little knife you can shove down your sock.
I didn't go to that because Lancashire Seconds were playing Northampton at home and I decided to watch that instead. Okay, and my second camper, he's a dead ringer for Bernard Breslau from the movie Carry On Camping. Yes, he's a cheeky pavoon on the wrong side of 50. And just like Barbara Windsor's bra strap in the infamous Carry On scene, he's rusty, under too much pressure, and underneath it all, he's just a massive pair of tits. It's Dennis Waywell.
Thank you very much.
It's getting quite derogatory now, this introduction, isn't it?
Well, it's funny. I just mentioned Bernard Breslau then, and Sam started nodding.
Yeah. I've never seen it before, but I can see that.
He's a cross between...
Go on.
He's a cross between Bernard Breslau, Wasim Akram, and Roger Federer, isn't he? Sort of all three molded together.
The rough-looking Bernard, Roger Federer.
He played a plumber in Carry On Camping, Bernard Breslau. And he also had a comb-over as well. Any connection?
Well, it's funny you should mention Chris Hill, because he is a plumber. And I noticed this week on Twitter, he's trying to rent his two-bedroom cottage terrace out in Goulburn. Surely he just needs to go on Homes Under the Hammer.
Now, sometimes here on Homes Under the Hammer, a property project goes down to the wire. Renovations need a captain to lead from the front and be ready to encounter a fair amount of resilience. Today we're in Goulburn. It's a rather deprived area of the north of England, formerly an old mining community, the place now being a complete dump, along with the shithole known as Wigan, just a stone's throw up the road. We caught up with young Christopher Hill, who'd set his heart on a two-bedroom cottage terrace. Chris, what first attracted you to Goulburn?
It's close to Lee. Most of my family are from there. I've got cousins that married cousins, so I'm very close to them, really.
I bet you are.
Besides, I tend to get a nosebleed if I go any further than the M56.
So is there much work to be done on the property, Chris?
Yes, the bathroom needs a complete makeover, but I'm a qualified plumber, so I can rip it out and install a new one pretty quickly.
Yes, I can see by all the dripping taps it needs improving. Of course, sometimes it's not the expertise you need, but the labour. What are your plans for that, Chris?
There's a young lad at work called Declan. He'll have fuck all to do next year, so I'll be using him.
and the backyard. It needs some work.
Don't worry, I'll comb it over.
Yes, by the looks of it, you've had some experience before.
Absolutely.
So, Chris, will you be moving in when the work's completed?
Just depends if I can get my partner, Michael, to move over here. He's got his sights set on a semi-detached in Stockton Heath.
Well, it's been 6 months since we caught up with young Chris, so we returned to Goulburn to see how he's been getting on. And did he spend marquee money to make the house a winner? Chris? Chris? Christopher? Oh my goodness!
Quick! Quick! Put your finger in the hole! The entire house is about to flood!
But Chris, I thought you were a plumber.
The massive stopcock's gone!
Oh my word, there's no way to talk about Dion Dublin. I'm only filling in for him, Christopher. Well, I think it's clear to see that Chris is onto a winner renting out his newly completed renovated terrace. But mass unemployment in the area and a crime rate significantly higher than the national average, we asked two local estate agents, Harry Balzac and Phil McCracken, the value of the property.
I'd expect for Mr. Hill to rent out this property to in the region of 15 to 30 quid a week.
A two-bedroom cottage, terrace, including submerged bathroom in Goulburn. I'd value this property between £10,000 to £18,000. Thank you very much.
Well, it's good luck to Chris. Next week, we're joined in Leeds when we catch up with Callum Watkins. Soon to be made homeless, Callum desperately seeks a ground floor property to accommodate his ongoing weight issues and his dicky knee.
Right, well, how was the... I thought my accent was quite good this week. Wasn't too bad, was it? It's better than me, Tony Smith.
It's quite generic.
All right, let's move on to the game and the Catalans game. It was yesterday. The Warrington team was Thulis, Johnson, Goodwin, King, Charnley, Austin, Patton Hill, Clark, Cooper, Curry, Hughes, Philbin. Interchange bench was Murdoch, Masilla, Clark, Akawala and Davis. We were missing Tom Lynham, who's been handed a three-game suspension, and also Jake Mamo, too, who had the one-game ban. Final score was Warrington 32, Catalans 4. We'll run through the first half and the tries, and then I'll go to you, Sam, and you can kind of sum up what you thought of the first half. At 17th minute, a looping pass from Grigo sees Yahoo do well and get the ball down after pressure from Charnley for 4-0. 31st minute, Daryl Clark scoots from dummy half and has too much pace to make it 6-4 to the wire. And wow, what a try. 39th minute, Austin at pace flies onto the ball. Terrific palm off of Grigo, and it's 12-4.
Ben Curry on that left-hand side of the field, but he's not looked as dangerous as Clark. Oh,
he's got to go on his own. What a try! Well, they weren't clicking, but they are now. A bit of individual brilliance. Magic there from Daryl Clark. The try. Looking for a way through, brilliant from Austin, where he hasn't had the best first half of his Warrington career, but when it really matters, and it does really matter, just before half time, he fends off Tony Gigo. And Warrington have two tries in 5 minutes to take control of this game.
Sam, Phil Clark and John Wells both said at half time that Catalan had been the better team. I nearly fell off my chair. Your thoughts on it, mate?
Yes, well, my thoughts before I come on to Phil Clark and John Wells is Grigio is a new player for Catalan, is he? Well, you seem to have an extra W in there.
I went on a wine tour yesterday. I think I saw him on the wine tour. Is it not Pino Grigio?
Brand new player. Anyway, back to the match. It was a tough start, actually. I thought we seemed to be starting to get on top in the first 10 minutes and three errors in a row. I think Austin gave a penalty away while in possession. Goodwin, a soft high tackle. Austin then spilled the ball from a little kick through. And from that little passage of play, Catalan then got on top slightly for Yaha to score, and it was 4-0. So it was quite scrappy for 30 minutes, and suddenly, boom. And as you say, Clark spots Cassiano slow at the marker in his away, too much pace. And
was it Cassiano? I thought it was Sauvignon Blanc you went past.
Yeah, it could have been. It could have been that too. But 38 minutes, it was boom time to 2-1 it. Marquee Money does it again. Clark with a little drop-off ball. And Austin, he just explodes through the gap. You only need to give him half a gap and he's through. Bang.
If you remember, Tom Lynham talked about when we asked him about doing the wire flyer. And the first thing he said is oh, we only practice over 40 metres. That was like quite a thing. Notice now that Austin has scored most of his tries from that 40 metre burst of speed. And I think Clark did the same thing yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, it's the explosion into it through the gap.
I thought Warrington in that first 25 minutes really handled the Catalans well. You know, they were coming at us with all their big boppers, trying to make it, you know, hard for us. And look, we weren't particularly on top, but we just coped with them. And then on about the 25th minute, Catalans were coming off their own line. I think they had the ball on about the 20-yard line. And you could throw sort of a net over about nine of their players. All of a sudden, they looked tired. You just thought, they're not going to get much out of this last 10 minutes. And then, of course, 31st and 39th minute, we score those two tries.
I think you're dead right. It was just, I just think it was a few errors by us in that first period that stopped us getting ahead earlier, really.
Yeah. The looping ball out to Yaha on the wing, it was up in the air for a while. Did you think possibly Charlie could have intercepted that? I think he was in two minds at one point, or he would have looked a bit silly if he'd gone for it or just couldn't get to it.
I didn't really think at the time there was anything that he could have done different. I thought he made a very good effort to try and get him into touch, actually. Yeah, he put a lot of pressure on him. But I've not watched the game back. I was out yesterday, so I've not watched the game back.
Were you paying attention, Sam, yesterday?
I was paying a lot of attention. Yes, yesterday. Yeah. Paying attention a lot.
Because you look a bit rough this morning, Sam, as if you've you had a big night.
That was post-game. Post-game. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. So come on, these two idiots on Sky. I mean, do they actually think before they open their mouths? How did Phil Clark think that Catalans had been the better team in the first half, bearing in mind that we scored two incredible tries? I thought rugby league was about scoring tries and having incredible moments in the match.
I think we've seen it with Phil Clark before that he does like occasionally to be deliberately taking the other view. But on the other hand, I know from just talking to people like that in the past, they have to get their script, if you like, ready 10-15 minutes before the end of the half. So they don't always change with what's actually happening in front of them, do they?
I think they almost run with a theme. I think they start with a theme and they just go down this hole. That's what I've always thought. I think they just can't get themselves out of it. And John Wells has carried on.
Didn't he? He'd make his mind up in the first 15 minutes who was going to be man of the match, regardless of what happened in the next 65 minutes.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know what we should do, or what they should do, is that they should have like maybe one of the correspondents or reporters of Rugby League on as a summariser every week and rotate it in and out, you know, like we had Gareth Walker. Because they talk a bit more impartially than them two, don't they?
Yeah, perhaps, maybe. Yeah.
Carney brings it back round every week. Is there anyone that talks any sense amongst that team at the moment? It's funny to see. Okay, 45th minute, start of the second half, Patton with a penalty, makes it 14-4. And then on the 63rd minute, Goodwin doing what Goodwin does best, running in straight lines, gets his 100th try. Patton again, successful, 20 points to 4. 69th minute, Akawala with an abundance of brute strength, somehow manages to get that ball down and make it 26-4, makes Catalans look a little bit silly there. And then on the 75th minute, a complete hash by Catalans at the back, and Charlie touches down on a loose ball, and it's 32-4.
Still have the ball, and here is Bronson Goodwin. Goodwin steps inside. Is this going to be his 100th try? It is 100 tries! Akawala. What an impression he's made. See to Akawala this year. What an impression he has made! What an impact from Akolo!
Use a little bit of magic, and he does as King finds Charnley. Chip and charge for Josh Charnley. It's a good kick, it's a good kick, and Charnley! Charnley will win the race somehow to his own kick, and Josh Charnley, he's not scored for six games. How on earth he scored that?
Great second half. It just seemed a really good team performance, Sam. Didn't seem like anyone really let us down on the day. It was just solid across the park amongst the whole 17.
Yeah, I think you're right there. It was a very controlled, good first 20 minutes in that second half. A few errors on both sides. But when we then moved the ball to the right, Charnley got held up and it came back the way. Goodwin straightened up scoring. He deserved that try. I thought he had a very, very good all-round game, Goodwin.
He made a. What was it? Do we know what his meters were? He must have made a lot of meters yesterday.
I do.
Dennis,
indeed.
You're not a fan of Goodwin, Dennis. Are you going to eat your words this week?
Yeah. Well, I'm quite happy to eat my words. Yeah. I think Bryson Goodwin naturally is now playing for a South Rabbitohs Sydney contract, isn't he? So he's doing very well.
Go on, Sam.
I was going to say, I've got a few key performance indicators, a few KPIs from that game, if you want them. We had seven players running over 100 metres. They were Charnley, 149, Goodwin, 139, Clark, 123, Davis, 122, and then Jack Johnson, 108 metres. Didn't notice that, really. And Austin, 100 metres. And Goodwin, 8 tackle busts. Austin, 7 tackle busts. Clark, 5. You know, it was spread right throughout the team. Some good performances.
How many metres did Jack Johnson make?
108.
I think you've got the equation wrong there. I think based on his height, that's probably 108 centimetres he's made. And they've somehow made a bit of a...
How much was that going forward and in reverse, is it?
Or just sideways, yes. Mm. Yeah. But it's interesting when you come away with one impression and you see what actually has gone on. It can be interesting, can't it?
What's your impression?
I'm a little bit worried about Dennis, actually, because it looks like there's a huge crack in his wall behind him. And I've just realised that my son put his foot through my tablet this week and it's actually my screen. For a second, then, Dennis, I thought you were going to have to leave the house.
Oh dear.
But I think yesterday, for me, there was one performance we have to talk about, and it's the young 17-year-old Josh Thewlis. He was taken off in the 72nd minute, I think 72 minutes. He got a huge round of applause from the stadium. It was great to see him get some recognition for what was a very competent, very promising debut. I think he was succumbing to cramp in the last 20 minutes or so that he was on the pitch, but he gave a good interview and it was great. Great for the lad. Great for the lad.
Yeah, I thought there was a couple of moments where he really did show some skills. He threw two balls out to his left, flat passes, some distance. One of them on the run. The second one was absolutely superb that found Jack Johnson. And he wasn't quite ready for it. I think had he been ready for it and realised this amazing pass was coming his way, he could have possibly got onto the end of that and scored in the corner. As it was like, I'm not used to such incredible passes. He was absolutely superb. I would give the lad a little bit of advice that at his age, it's all about the 1%. It's all about in training, doing the 1%.
It's a shame you can't say a thing about the host that you've been getting his name wrong for the past like day, calling him Thewlis.
Liz, I have to say, Josh, if you're listening, we did get a Twitter message from you earlier today. We do have a very, very special guest coming on the podcast, which we'll probably be releasing a little bit later this week. He talked about you and your 1%, mate. So it comes from him. Look out for that in a few days' time.
Pleasing result. Very pleased, to give a debut. You coach for these type of days. And, when you see a 17-year-old, the second youngest Warrington player to make his debut in the club's history, it's fantastic. And being a kid who's come through our scholarship and our academy system in Josh Thewlis, it makes you, a proud coach. Yeah, I wouldn't have put him in if I didn't think he was, tough. And, I said to the guys, there was two examples what stood out. There was one last year where he was playing Wigan in the under-16s, and it was at Crossfields, and you know, that was 1v2, and it was a really tough game. And although he didn't have his best game, I saw how he carried himself, and his will to win was outstanding. And when we went on the army camp, you know, he's phenomenal. You know, that was pretty tough, and you know, nearly broke a few players. And you know, there was three players in today's game who actually you know, gave him a vote. So that said it all, and he's got a bright future. But in saying that, you know, he's got a lot of hard work ahead of him, and we'll make sure we keep him grounded. You know, I'm really big on giving, you know, opportunities to, you know, the local community kids, and you know, that's the system we're going to be going, you know, projecting forward. So you know, hopefully there's a few more to come over the next you know, years to come. So, but overall, you know, I'm really pleased with the result today.
Dennis Akawala looked like he was on his way at the start of this season. He was out of favour. We didn't even see him. All of a sudden now possibly securing himself a new contract at the Wire next year?
Well, there's a couple of things there, isn't there? I think we mentioned, from a fan's point of view, I think we all thought, oh, why is he not playing, you know, this and the other? Now he's getting a bit more game time. I mean, his running is second to none, isn't it? I mean, he's almost like, you know, throwing himself at the line. Whether he gets a new contract, I think we need to obviously wait for Madam Boyd and see if she can determine whether that's going to happen or not.
I think there was a very, very noticeable bit yesterday that not everyone would have picked up on. And it's actually only been pointed out to me this morning because I missed it at the game. He scored his try. He's walking back to the middle of the pitch and Henderson.
Gets his cock out.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry.
Maybe not. Henderson goes out and taps him on the shoulder and tells him to look up at Steve Price. And Steve Price was giving him big clap and well done. So obviously he's doing what the coach now wants him to do. And Price was recognising that. So that was obviously good to see.
Was he mouthing resilience?
I think he was mouthing something a bit better than that, probably.
How long do we think before he gets banned for leading with that shoulder? At some point, they're going to look at that and say it's almost a shoulder challenge from an offensive player.
Possibly, and I've looked at this before with other players, that there seems to be a very fine line. As long as you've got the ball under your arm, it seems like you can go in that way. It's if you go in with your shoulder on the non-ball carrying arm that doesn't seem to be frowned on. And I think he's been warned several times as well about raising his knees as he goes into the tackle. So well, if he just stays just on the right side, it makes him so difficult to tackle. Seven tackle busts from Akwala yesterday.
Yeah.
And he was only on the pitch for what? 20 minutes, 25 minutes?
Yeah. Probably his best game in a Wire shirt would go that far.
Up for an all-round performance, and considering we were playing the team, a big team who were third in the league, possibly.
So to sum it up, all the team played well. Do we think that was our best performance from 1 to 17 yesterday this season?
Best performance for a little while, yeah. Best performance since St. Helens, definitely.
I think, reaction to last week as well, though, don't forget, because, you know, we're under that adversity I mentioned last week. And then, again, well, if you can do that, you can beat the team in third as well.
I do like that referee. I think that referee is squeaky clean. I think he is. He just sees it the way it is and he lets it go. You know, I don't think, I mean, we've seen in the NRL last year, you know, it was 30 penalties a game last year. Now they're down to about 10 in every match. But
you're like a stat man now, aren't you?
I know. I don't know where I'm getting all this from. I don't know where I'm getting it all from.
I think as well, yesterday I went to the game slightly nervous about our back line. We were missing Ratchford, Atkins, Lynham, and Mamo. So we're missing four. Maybe Atkins isn't the first choice now, but we're missing four first choice players there, and yet we still dominated. Really pleasing, really, really pleasing result. I don't think we could have asked for much more.
Okay. I should give credit where credit's due as well. I thought Depp Patton had his best game in a Wire shirt yesterday. I don't think he did anything superb, but he was solid. And what I liked about Patton yesterday was his defence was on song. And on a few occasions when the ball was sort of bobbling around, he was there sort of helping out. He wasn't standing back yesterday. He seemed to be getting amongst it.
I can see Sam looking for the stats, but you sent some stats through, didn't you, Sam? And when you compare him to, what's he, of Catalan?
Matty Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, very almost identical players, really, aren't they? Really, just a difference in age. But I'd agree with Rob there. He didn't do anything of any real note. But what we've been asking from him is, if he's going to play this second fiddle to Austin, he just needs to be clean and solid. And he was that. He only missed one tackle yesterday, which is a big improvement for him.
So are we agreed now that Patton has made it after his 15 games? He's put a couple of performances in. Are we keeping him in for the rest of the year now? Happy enough?
Well, we'll come on to the poll a little bit later because we asked that question this week. And maybe we've got the answer there. But all in all, terrific performance from 1 to 17. I did think it was quite funny to see Tompkins try to take Austin on for about the first 15 minutes of the game. And then I think Tompkins realised that he's not as big as Austin. He's not as quick as Austin. He's not as skillful as Austin. He's not as committed as Austin. And he kind of shied away and disappeared.
And his tattoos aren't as good as Austin's.
Yeah.
No. Although, God bless him, apparently he did sort of tap our young lad on the back at the start of the game and say, you know, wish him well, which was good to see. Yeah. Okay, man of the match. Well, I tell you what, Dennis, are you sitting down for this? My man of the match is Bryson Goodwin. I just had to give it to him just on his commitment, all those metres he made and the try he scored. Sam, where are you going?
My top three are Goodwin, Austin and Clark. It's very hard to split them. I'm going to go on the basis, one try, two try assists and 32 tackles. I'm going with Clark.
Dennis.
Same.
Now, you were on a wine tour yesterday and had your phone hidden in your cap.
yep. I did actually see this as well. And I think that is the thing, the impetus of the turning point of when he actually did that 40-meter dash. I think that was definitely Clark yesterday.
Going Clark as well. What was your best wine on the tour yesterday, mate? Was anything that you liked and you thought, oh, I'll get a crate of that, get a case of that?
Can't afford a crate, but I got a couple of bottles of oak-aged wine that got won an award. A few things I learnt about on the wine, so a little test for Sam, maybe. What sort of degrees would you expect to see a slope that is in a vineyard? So what's the best sort of slope of the hill there? Compared to Oldham?
I was going to say, I think it's probably the same hill that they have at Hunslet. About 7 degrees. 7 degrees.
I'd go about 10 degrees. 1 in 10.
Ooh, Sam's the winner. It's 17 degrees, apparently.
Oh, bigger than, even more than that. All right.
Types of canopy for growing grapes. Do you know any of the detail here, Sam, about, you know, how to grow grapes? There's different ways of growing it and names.
The names, no, but it's all about the terroir, isn't it? All about the surrounding things. And you can grow them sideways, staking out across wires, or, you know, all different ways. In France, you tend to go for a low sort of 3 foot high.
What you're trying to say, Sam, is it's a Geneva double curtain, I think is what
that's,
you're trying to say.
That's obviously what I'm trying to do.
Yes. Yeah.
Or a Loire Valley flat.
And finally, there's a word that is, which is a good word, actually, and you can relate it to rugby league. This is about how the vine attach itself to those particular stays and wires that they hold the vine up with. There's a word that's used, and I think it should be one that we could maybe consider of a tackle. It's called thigmotropism. And that's the word that's used, isn't it, Sam? Go on, correct me. Yes. So it's how it grabs and holds itself on to sort of like, you know, support and things like that, which a thigmotropism should be a tackle, I think.
I don't think it's going to catch on to say how many thigmotropics did the player do this week and how many missed thigmotropics were there as well.
The way it rolls off your tongue, Sam. Yes, it does. Yes, it's certainly going to be.
And that completes this week's wine podcast. Join us next week when we'll look at French regions of wine, mainly Bordeaux, Burgundy and the Champagne area. And now it's back to the Rugby League podcast. So the predictions were...
predictions. Let's get on to predictions again.
Right. Okay. So, Sam, well, the final score obviously was, what was it? What was it? 32-4. Sam went for 28-10. Dennis went 34-18. And I tried to sneak in and go one on the top of Dennis and went 35-19. So this week, Dennis wins. He was the closest. And he is now only nine off the lead. So that's very good. Very good. I should also point out this week that my partner guessed the right number of sweets in a jar to one. You weren't allowed to guess over. She guessed 433 sweets, and there was 434. Not only is she beautiful, she's a mathematician as well. So there we go.
Have you had to say that so you can carry on podcasting?
She's gone to bed. It's the Queen's birthday year tomorrow, and there's no one working, but unfortunately she has to work. Right, let's move on to the Challenge Cup draw. It sees Wyre play Hull, and St Helens get a walkover into the final because they've matched up with Halifax. Sam, it's 7 weeks until the semi-final. Is it just too far to predict how this will go?
Yeah, much too far. It depends on injuries and things, doesn't it? However, I think we should start now with the social media campaign to really wind Radford up. But you can't even predict what Hull are going to do tomorrow, never mind in 7 weeks' time.
Yeah, it's, I mean, Hull did get the better of us the other week. Has that done them any favours, do you think, Dennis? Or psychologically, it's, you know, it's too early now and they've sort of given it all away.
Well, when you listen to people talking about Hull, I think everybody's of the same opinion. They just can't really call it which way they're going to play. I don't think it'll affect us, the previous results. I think we're very much focused on what we're doing, right and wrong. And I think we can easily get past all if we put our mind to it. One thing I would like to say is it's really annoying about the RFL putting such a big gap between this and the semi-final and so on. You might as well play the semi-final now and then just leave the final further down the track. And then at least the crowds can plan out that bank holiday weekend, because you're almost like leaving it open to see if your team's going to get there. By which time you've only got 2 weeks.
I don't know whether it's actually been completed yet, but they are looking about moving the Challenge Cup all into one block closer together. I think they were looking at the final coming forward by at least a month into July.
There can't be another professional sport globally that has such a gap between a semi-final and final. I bet you'd struggle to find one somewhere that
it's
has such a
quarterfinal, semi-final, isn't it? That's sorry, the thing.
Sorry, quarterfinal to semi-final. They can't. I mean, I've never 7 weeks between a quarter and a semi.
That sounds familiar for you, Rob, doesn't it? Oh dear, I think we should leave that there.
Let's
move that one on.
Right, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get through this next paragraph, because this is I don't know, I'm pretty emotional about this. It comes with great sadness to announce that during this week, Madam Boyd had to say goodbye to Tony Smith. It was time for the fledgling to leave the chip shop under Madam Boyd's ownership and head to Hull KR. Okay, everyone, handkerchief at the ready. It's over to Madam Boyd and Tony.
Tony, please retrieve my balls. Thank you.
Who's Tony, Madam Boyd?
Never mind him, dear. Now I'm going to rub my balls for this week's prediction. Tony, please get me my glove. You have left my balls very greasy.
Madam Boyd, who is Tony?
My assistant, dear. He was an expert in your field, and since falling on hard times, he now assists me with my ball. Tony, come in here, please. Get me my balls.
So, can I ask how you met Tony and what the current arrangement is, Madam Boyd?
Ah, here he is, my knight in shining armour. Tony, retrieve the balls, please. T- Tony, you really must cut those nails. Anyway, dear, I met Tony in a taxi. He was a taxi driver near Glastonbury at the time, and now he's moonlighting in the chip shop. Tony, it's only me. Relax, dear. That's right, Tony. Continue to play with my balls in your bath.
So, Tony's in the bath. Is this the new aqua hypnotic therapy you've been talking about, madam boy?
Indeed it is. Tony is currently in a hypnotic state where my balls provide a mean of brainwashing. Tossing my balls in the bath takes Tony to a deeper, more hypnotic level. Tony, are you okay there?
Yeah.
Anyway, dear, I'll rub my remaining ball and see what I can do. Tony, it's time to play with my balls again, dear.
How's everything working out with Tony?
Yes, we've certainly made an extra special connection, haven't we, Tony, dear?
Passions alight again in terms of...
Tony, don't tell him our secrets.
Yeah.
Oh, Tony, so frisky.
Yeah.
Yes, Dennis, I will miss him greatly, but it's what he wants, isn't it, Tony?
It's the right time for me, so I can go and do some of the things that I want to do and... I just think it's time for a freshen up.
I'm sorry, Tony. What do you mean?
Orgy and that real passion.
Ooh, you are awful, Tony. But I like you. Let's just start with my balls for now. Come on, Tony. One more time up the attic before you leave.
That's actually what we want. It's not the Tina Turner.
No, she's bullshit, Tony. And I'm not dressing up as her again. Aren't you, Tony?
Yeah. And in a respectable way.
Ooh, you are awful, Tony. But I like
you. Dennis, you've spent a lot of time with these two over the last... 18 weeks. Sum it up for us, please.
I can't talk. Oh, God. I had a tear in my eye. She was talking to me the other day. She's got loads of news bottled up, but she couldn't get it out. Oh, dear. I don't know. Well, Tony's new venture anyway. So the chip shop won't suffer. It's still got James. I'm sure something will come of it.
I was quite surprised on social media just how positive Wire fans were to Tony Smith going to Hull KR. It certainly, he's left his legacy at Warrington. I think a lot of people are very much looking at it, Sam, on the whole experience of Tony Smith and possibly not those last 24 months. Is he the right man for the job at Hull KR?
Well, I think just on the point you've made there, yes, it got a little bit fractious, didn't it? And in hindsight... If he'd have left a couple of years before, then he'd have been sent off with a big hurrah. Whereas that last year, it got a bit iffy and really we wanted him to go. Well, we wanted a change, not so much wanted him to go. So now looking at his time with us in the round, he was brilliant for us, wasn't he? From all accounts, he's happy, he's refreshed and he wants to get cracking again now. So if he has got his enthusiasm, then short term he's surely going to be a good signing for Hull KR. And actually he's going to come up against us in just a week's time, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is. I thought he'd be a better signing for Hull, really, because, you know, he was a disciplinarian, wasn't he? When he went into Warrington, you know, half of them were getting pissed up in Stockton Heath every weekend.
Yes.
And I think it was Gleeson, first of all, that he sort of showed the door to. And that was
he basically swapped Gleeson for Richie Mathers. And if you just look at it, on the very basis, Gleeson's a better player than Mathers, but Mathers was a far superior person for our club at the time. And Gleeson was.
It's all about those 1%. Dennis.
I've got a theory.
I noticed when the statement came out that he's till the end of this year. Do you not get a feeling that it's a sigh of relief for people like in Wigan and stuff? But yet, at the end of the day, is this not like a little test? Get your foot back in rugby league, take the bigger job on next year with Wigan, you think?
Maybe, or it might just be because if they get relegated, they can't afford to keep him.
Mm. Yep.
Yeah. Well, we'll watch this space and see what happens. Right, okay. Well, we've reached kind of the halfway part of the season now. I thought it was about time to take an in-depth look at Warrington statistics. It's also come to the podcast's attention that Sam is now down to only preparing for the podcast on one sheet of A4 paper. So to get him back in his game, it's time for Sam's mid-season stats. Sam, over to you, mate.
All right, well, thank you very much. But yesterday's statistics were written on the back of a receipt from Las Ramblas. So there you go. Lies, damn lies and statistics, aren't they? I mean, I suppose the only statistic that matters really at the moment is Warrington have played 17 games and won 13. And we sit very comfortably in second place. But behind the league table, there's quite a lot going on. The team, we sit second in tries scored behind St Helens. We've scored 87, St Helens 100. We sit third in tackle busts 638 times, but surprisingly above us, St Helens, as you might expect, Leeds Rhinos. Rhinos have made the second number of tackle busts. We've made the second most clean breaks, and that all points to where we are in the table. But interestingly, we're the second worst in terms of errors. We've made almost as many errors as Leeds Rhinos, and we've given away the fourth most number of penalties, so we've not got any discipline. We've given away 135 penalties, whereas Saints have only given away 99. So perhaps that shows where we are playing good rugby, but occasionally undoing ourselves with errors and penalties. We look at a few key individual performers. You might notice the same names coming up here. Tries, Austin is leading the league in tries scored. Tackles made, Darren Clark is leading the league. Sorry, he's 10th in the league, but leading in Warrington's performers. Darrell Clark is our second best metre maker on average with 9 metres per carry. Blake Austin is our best player for tackle busts. Darrell Clark is our second best player for tackle busts. All things that perhaps you would expect. But our person who makes the most errors, any guesses?
Ooh, is it going to be a prop?
Blake Austin made 29 errors so far, but that's where stats can be misleading because he probably touches the ball more than anybody else.
Mm. I reckon I was thinking about Austin last night and having watched what he's doing with the ball at the moment, and I don't think there's been a better footy player at Warrington for probably 20 years. Apart from maybe Monaghan, who had a little bit of a hurrah right at the start of his campaign, I don't think there's anyone who's come close. The last person I think who has got bums off seats as well as Austin's been doing this year is Jonathan Davis.
Yes,
and I don't think there's been anyone between Davis. Possibly for 3 months it was John Firstfield. He was on form for a little while.
Yeah, you're right, Rob. When years ago when Davis signed, and for a couple of years we saw just a different class, different type of player than Austin, obviously, but we saw just a different class. We then had little cameos from Alfie Langer, of course, but he was at the end of his career. And we of course, had an even smaller cameo from a reasonably good player called, was it Andy Johns, something like that? I can't quite remember his name.
He didn't do that much. Like, he turned up for a few games, and then we got stuffed at Hull, or we got stuffed at home, didn't we? And, you know, he threw the ball out that ended up them scoring. I think,
what I mean by that is that's a player that he was only here for 3 or 4 games or whatever it was. But in terms of the town got excited to see this outstanding player, well, you're right. the town is excited every time Blake Austin gets his hands on the ball in an attacking position. And again, yesterday, we've already spoke about it. He just explodes through any half chance. And he loves it, doesn't he? He has a big smile on his face. He loves his rugby.
Do you reckon it's going to be a good combination then with him and Widdop?
Oh, could you? I tell you what, if we could just get hold of Widdop and get him on the show, could you imagine those two next year? Gee.
What, on the podcast?
Yeah, give him a call, see if we can get him on.
All right.
I'll have a look in the phone directory. Right, okay. All right. Well, it was scrummages. Oh, no, hang on. I'd rather moving on to Dennis's tackle bags. Oh, no, Dennis has got his finger up. He obviously wants to say something in his Hawaiian shirt this morning.
Yeah. I was just going to say, when I was just looking at those stats, I mean, he's reeled off so many stats there, it's hard to summarise them. But when you think about all the penalties and, losing possession that we've had, when you look at the points against and so on, what that tells you is that we've got a massive advantage from a defence point of view, because we must be really sort of good in defence every time we're losing the ball and we're not conceding as, you know, proportion.
Yes, in terms of missed tackles, if I can say this the right way round, it's not a double negative, we are the best team in terms of fewest tackles missed. So we've got a tackle success rate of 91%. Only Wigan are better by about 0.5%, but we've only missed 459 tackles throughout our entire games. So we put ourselves under pressure, but we seem to defend it quite well. And perhaps only against those teams like St. Helens and like Catalan when they were on song when we were in the south of France. So we are putting ourselves under pressure. But we are defending that pressure.
That bodes well for the going forward. That, I mean, it's like the hidden stat that says that, you know, when we get to the pressure games, we should be able to sort of rise up to the occasion.
I'd rather we weren't defending our line, though. I'd rather we were attacking the opposition's
line. Yeah, but you're just thinking about your receding hairline, aren't you? That's all.
Gee. Right, let's move on to the poll and readers' tries. Although I must say, we got a nice email from Mrs. Hamlet on Thursday. Thanks for that. Thanks for the pictures. Very nice. Right, the poll this week was, should Kevin Brown slot straight back into the wire side when fit? Options were yes, no, carry on with Deck Pattern, loan him to Rochdale or Breers, bring him out of retirement. 54% went for Brown should come back in and Pattern should go. 21% think Pattern should continue. 13% out on loan, Brown should go to Rochdale. And 12% thought that Breers should come out of retirement. He really does split opinion, doesn't he, this Deck Pattern and where we're at. I mean, Dennis has just come out and said that, you know, he's now possibly found his mark, should stay in the team. It will be intriguing to see what Price does when Brown, if fit, does come back this year.
Brown will take a while. Let's assume he comes back and he's fully fit. It's then going to take him a few weeks to get match fit. And then if you look at them as individuals, Kevin Brown offers you a bit more. But is he going to be too slow? Do you need the man who's been playing all year in terms of Pattern? Pattern has to keep his performance level up, though, to stay in for me. The difference is Kevin Brown, if he gets the ball in the right area, this ball in the ball in hands, can probably create more than Deck Pattern does.
Do we need him to create anything? I mean, it's a tricky one, isn't it? With Austin doing so much and Clark doing so much. How long is Ratchford out for? Because at the moment, Pattern's also kicking the goals.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, if Brown does come back before Ratchford, who's going to kick the goals?
Perhaps Bryson Goodwin.
Yeah, I mean, he had a go at it last year, didn't he? It wasn't the best. A bit of a toe-ender, really.
You're right, though. It becomes a quandary. If Pattern keeps his performance level up and does, again, in inverted commas, nothing wrong, he's then got the fact if he's kicking well, it all adds to why he should stay in the team. But if he drops his performance level or continues to be inconsistent, then it's... I think it will also say, we're 6 points cleared in second now. If we're 8 or even 10 points cleared in second, then it gives Price the option to play around a bit then, doesn't it? The pressure's off.
Yeah, it is. In other news this week, Luther Burrell started training with The Wire. Boy, he looks a big unit. He was standing next to Josh Charlie in a couple of photographs, and he was towering over him. He also looks pretty quick on what I've seen, you know, recent form. I think he scored a try, was it at his club before he left last week, where he showed a real turn of pace. Intriguing to see just how much we'll see of him this year, if any.
Well, I've almost answered the question twice in that if we're well cleared in second place, it gives Price the option to play around on a couple of the lesser games, doesn't it, without almost a free hit. And to answer your question, Dennis, Rugby Union Centre, it'd make a big Conrad Hurrell sort of size centre for us, or it'll be an impact second row player. Mm. Not quite Ben Murdoch-Masella, but that type of player. It depends how quickly he gets back into the rhythm of rugby league rules, doesn't it?
I'm looking forward to seeing him. Okay, well, it was scrummages last episode, and the bizarre suggestion by Dennis of placing 7 players in the scrum. Perhaps with him living down there in Glastonbury for so long, he's gone all rugby union, or perhaps he's gone completely mad. We can only hope it's the latter. But until he's sectioned off or starts dressing in the attire of tailored shorts with pockets and a polo shirt sporting an investment bank's logo, it's over to Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
Thank you very much. We're back again. Tackle Bags. Get your flat cap on. Here we go. Strap in. In last week's episode, we discussed Septi Scrum. 7 players in the scrum, as Rob's just suggested. Idea being to encourage more open play, development of more tries. So an interesting mix to this question. Yes.
Can I just stop you there? Can I just stop you there, Dennis? And can we talk about Sam? Because he's left the room again. I mean, what a wanker. Have you noticed what a tosser he's become over the last few weeks? Guy's an arsehole.
He's up his own arse.
He's a right prick. He's
no respect for it.
Look at him. He's sodded off. He's disappeared. Look at the state of that door. Needs some varnish on. Oh, he's back.
He's got a cap on. Oh,
he's back. Well, you know what? We've been talking you up while you've been away, Sam, saying what a hero you are, and you've just proved a point. Good on you, Sam.
Yeah, well done, Sam.
Sam's now got his flat cap on. Carry on, Dennis.
Okay. It's a good idea to have 7 in a scrum. We had Penis Collada. He said, yes, scrums are becoming a bit pointless like the RFL. That's a very strong opinion there. No, 44%. This is off Rusty Bullet Hole. We've got 7 tackles now in a scrum. What next? 7-point tries. I tell you, that could be something to discuss later on. 7-point tries. We're going to think of something for that. And other D. Parker, Septi Scrum. I'm Skepti Scrum. And then signs off with your knob. So that's the end of that one. Right, so this week, fear.
Beer or veer?
Beer. Fear. Foxtrot, echo, anal, Alpha. And rubber. That was my phonetics. Fear.
Anal, so, rubber. Well, there's the name of the podcast this week.
Right there. I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe that was next week's talk about. This week, real-time monitoring. In other words, finite energy analysis rate. This is where we monitor players' performance. Now, we've talked about this when they're, you know, at rest or in training and measuring their sort of like performance levels and so on. But as in the Tour de France, do they not measure the cyclist and the watts generated as they're actually in the Tour de France by having heart monitors on, etc. and so on, then maybe that's what we need to have in rugby league, and especially with the Warrington Wolves again, looking at technology, you could wire your players up to look at the performance output. Maybe that's important data that tells the coach, you know, when to rotate players, etc., based on their actual power outage, you know, that performed in that 10 or 15 minutes.
What do you reckon, Sam? Sure, they already have this, Dennis.
So they're already wired up.
Yeah.
During the game?
Whether they'll get the heart rate and
Yeah, I'll just say at this point, Rob does have his own tackle bags out as a distraction. But not to, I can only say that the data on those tackle bags, Rob, are they look about 88 years old. And it looks like you've shaven your eyebrows as well. So what do we think? Good idea?
What, that Rob gets his knob out?
No. Not sure about that one, Dennis. I mean, some of them you've come out with have been absolute classics, to be fair. And I think some you need to write to the RFL about. Not sure about this one this week, to be honest.
Well, so you're just leaving it subjective. So, you know, when we're out watching and you think, oh, he's knackered, get him off.
You should link this idea up with one you had earlier in the season, and it should all download into this app that you're developing for the fans.
Yeah, exactly. And you got you're playing like Street Fighter on your Xbox.
You get tired. Yeah. Now you're pulling it together.
Yeah, and then, you know, I've got a PS4. I prefer PS4 myself.
I prefer PS4.
So Fortnite, you've got a player running through there, and like, you know, you've got a little power bar, how much energy he's got left. Great idea. If you want to write to it, we're here all the time. It's whatbevin@gmail.com, Brian Bevin Facebook page. Rob, you can take letters and smoke signals by all accounts. Thank you.
You used to get a lot of families that didn't go for a fortnight, didn't you? They'd go for 10 days. That was the other option. Oh, it was Judith Chalmers. It was fortnight or 10 days.
Yeah, usually if you're off to the Canary Islands, they used to offer a lot of 10 days, didn't they? Fly on a Sunday, back on a Thursday.
Yeah, it was like that. Yeah.
By the way, Dennis, it's been pointed out to me. I meant to pull it up earlier. It's been pointed out to me. It wasn't Brian Bev in. It was Brian Bev Ann.
Brian Bev Ann.
Yeah, not Brian Bev in.
Brian Bevan.
He's had a go at me
by someone who sits near me
Had a go. Do you know, it's funny you should say this, Dennis, because he's had a go at my St. Helens as well.
It's not me. I'm just getting the feedback from a regular listener.
My mum, who's all over Paul. Sorry, Sam.
Who's Paul? And why is she all over him?
I digress. Let's carry on. Right. Okay. Now, with a top bloke in Callum, we thought it was time to offer Callum an element of contrast and look towards the bottom. So it's over to Callum to see what he makes of the relegation battle and which team he believes will head out of Super League.
In the race for survival in Super League, there are a few clubs, in my opinion, in danger of the drop. New Club London must head the list. They started the season bright, beating a few of the big hitters in Wigan, Leeds and Wakefield, but have slipped off as late. With the inexperience Broncos have, will Danny Ward be able to galvanise his side enough to keep their head above water? I don't think so. Leeds Rhinos, such a classic club when you think of Super League in the summer era and Rugby League in England. Their form in 2019 and since 2018 really hasn't been great at all, and I do think they're a club in crisis. Multiple losses and underperforming and an element of poor management has seen them drop quite far down the ladder and become a bottom four side rather than a top four side, which they have been for most of the club's establishment. They will have a job on their hands to battle with London, although they are just above the Broncos at the moment, which is keeping them in good stead. Another team who made a very promising start was Hull KR, a team who have slipped off dramatically, more than any others in my opinion, and a recent last minute loss to the hands of Warrington in the Cup sees head coach Tim Sheens lose his position as the head coach. Huddersfield Giants have done a good job in recent weeks keeping their heads above water and been into the middle embers of the league, so I think it'll be a 7th to 10th spot for them, which I think they'd be pretty happy with after their resurgence in the Super 8 last season. Those are the three sides in real danger for me. I believe Leeds will get themselves out of the mess eventually, but for the time being, they'll stave relegation, and it'll be London who get relegated for me.
Ebony's a good leading light of the scene, know what I mean? He created the vibe, he takes you for a ride, and is it by design?
Okay, would you believe it? We're off to Hull KR yet again. Are we going to see anything different, Sam, than a few weeks ago when Warrington got the win? Can you see any different storyline here?
The only difference I can see is if there is a Tony Smith effect. That's the only thing I can see here, that they'll be fresh, they'll be different, and he'll want to put one over on us, won't he? Not in a nasty way at all, but it'll get him going to be playing Warrington so quickly. I still got to fancy us. We're second in the league. They're second bottom. You've still got to fancy us. But that's my only concern, whether they have one of them days where everything goes right for them.
Mm, yeah. Well, Dennis, I mean, you know, we held them out against 11 men a couple of weeks ago, and you said it was a real psychological boost for the team. Having had time to sort of reflect on your statement, do you still stand by that, or in the light of day, do you realise now that Hull KR are totally and utterly dog shit?
So it's a fair point you make with that incisive analysis of being dog shit. I think that the other thing is we've got as well is that we've got a few players maybe trying to prove a point to Tony that, you know, having worked under him, they've actually gone on for better things. So in a positive way, they'll be looking to do something. I think, and I think with that win and that psychological edge, I think we've definitely got the edge on there. So, yeah, I reckon be 10 points. We'll get about, we'll win about 28-10, I think.
Oh, so you've gone early on your prediction there, Dennis.
Yeah, well, I got criticised last week.
Well, you did. Now you've shown the way there. Well, I'll go second. I'll let Sam go last if he wants. I think it'll be a high-scoring game. I think the referee will be on Hull KR's side because he'll get carried away with the fact Tony Smith's back in the sport. But I think we'll still come out on top. So I'll go Hull KR 28, Warrington 32. Sam? You seem absolutely, you realised I've nailed it. Do you want to even give your prediction now?
Yeah, I was thinking high scoring also. So I'll go a little higher. I'll go 26 Hull KR, 40 Warrington.
Hmm. Okay. Well, it's going to be close. We'll wait and see.
You've gone a bit mental, haven't you, this week?
Yeah, we've all gone a bit high. All right. So another episode draws to a close. And the madness of the show sinks to new depth. To bring it 1 ounce of credibility back to the podcast and heading towards the Wakefield game, next week the podcast will be joined by the gorgeous Richard Shorewright from Gary Schofield's 4020 podcast. Mm. Looking forward to that. But until then, if you want your say, Facebook, whatbevan@gmail.com or tweet whatbevan. So packing up his tent with military precision, tent bags, all accounted for and the ropes tied with the most impeccable scout knots, it's a dib, dib, dib from Sam.
Dob, dob, dob.
And also packing up after finally he stuck his rotten pole up, pushed the flaps back and slipped into the old bag. It's a knob, knob, knob from Dennis.
For saying knob.
I'm Rob London. There's no camping for me, just 5-star hotels. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Should we talk to that fella then at your end?
Still got one of my testicles hanging out. Been pinching me ever since Callum's section.
Don't mention them together.
Oh, do you? I don't give a fuck what you reckon. You could ask me again in a second. I still won't give a fuck what you reckon. Don't care about the thing that you just read. If I did, I'd have read it for myself. Don't care about the program you just watched or how long you've been at the bus stop.